You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Political Cesspool radio program, our live broadcast for Saturday evening, September 14th. I'm your host, James Edwards, coming to you tonight from our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's going to be another triumphant show this evening. A glorious day today. I feel as though I've been liberated from hell, or a.k.a. summer in the South with 100-degree heat and 100% humidity. You know, I am a proud son of the South. No one could love and respect Southern culture more than me. It's absolutely an impossibility. But when it comes to Southern summers, though, I'd trade them. But I woke up this morning. It was in the 60s. It was brisk. It was cool. No humidity. And I think the highs today were in the 70s. Just an absolutely perfect day. So we're going to try to make this show tonight as good as the weather outside the studio was for us. And if we do that, we will have done a good thing. Let's first go, as we have been doing here in recent weeks and months, to the mailbag. Mail again this week, folks, coming in from all over the world, across the country, around the globe. I want to apologize. I've got a backlog of email that stretches for several weeks. We do read every piece of correspondence that comes in via the snail mail or online, and I'm sorry if I have not been able to reply to you in a more timely fashion. But we do try to read a couple of them here on the air, and I got one here from a gentleman, again, in California. He writes, or asks, I should say, how does a show that has always performed on such a high level keep getting better? I don't know, but you guys somehow manage it. Got a kick last week out of Keith asking Scoop Stanton if New York City might consider seceding from the Union, but there is another hope. I've heard geologists predict that when the Earth returns to one of its periodic supercontinent phases, continental drift will send New York slamming into Africa. Is that fitting or what? Finally, I love the music you guys play, not only wonderful in itself, but of course harkening back to a more innocent, more European American America. So as far as your music, your news, your commentary, and your interviews, keep the hits coming. That comes, Keith, from a loyal listener in California. But I got a very interesting email today. In fact, I spoke with this gentleman on the phone earlier this morning. He is a listener from Sweden. And just like everybody in our audience, very astute, very well-spoken, highly intelligent, just a great man, a successful man. And we were talking on the phone today, and he had sent me this email about John McCain. And this just goes to show how far off and how misinformed and ignorant our decision makers are. This is what he writes. You probably heard that John McCain boasted that he was going to be writing an op-ed piece in Pravda in Russia as a response to Putin's article in the New York Times. Anyway, in the USSR times, Pravda was the newspaper that everyone had to read in order to keep up what was going on in the Soviet Union. But after 1991, Pravda collapsed, and today it's published only 3 times a week as a mouthpiece for the Russian Communist Party. On top of all of this, the kicker is that McCain wasn't actually approached by Pravda, the newspaper. He was contacted by Pravda.ru, a website that has no connection whatsoever to Pravda, the newspaper. Pravda.ru is a wacky blog run by disgruntled former employees of Pravda, the newspaper, and peddles such ideas as HIV is a hoax and human skulls were discovered on Mars, kind of like a Weekly World News excerpt, except that Pravda.ru believes these conspiracy theories. So McCain, first of all, didn't understand that Pravda today isn't what it was in the USSR times. And secondly, he didn't know the difference between Pravda.ru, the website, and Pravda, the newspaper. Totally embarrassing. And goes to show that this man is absolutely clueless about foreign affairs and has no idea with whom he's doing business with in other countries. Pravda, the newspaper, has issued a statement saying they won't publish anything McCain writes in an op-ed unless he agrees with their communist views on Syria. And they are also against an intervention. As much as I dislike Barry, I'm happy America didn't choose McCain back in 2008. Keith, we get scoops from our audience, and that is a great one. And folks, you can verify that what this gentleman is writing from Sweden is absolutely verifiable. How embarrassing, and these are the people that are our so-called chosen leaders.
As a child, James, I never thought there would come a day when America was run by a globalist Marxist and Russia was run by a Christian nationalist leader. But that's exactly the situation we have today. Putin would be immeasurably better as a leader of a free nation like the United States than Barack Obama. Barack Obama would be much better suited to a communist regime or a socialist regime. He's trying to draw America down that path, that failed path, that path that the Soviet Union, which no longer exists, followed. And instead, cultural Marxism being the successful gambit that it is, we now see that America is a more leftist nation than this, than Russia. Who knew? Who could have figured this? Who could have predicted this? Unfortunately, we're having to live it.
Well, we are, but we serve as a beacon of hope and honesty in media, giving people a voice that otherwise don't have it, if not for this network. And, you know, the one gentleman wrote how this show continues to get better. Folks, you'll remember that we are, of course, in the midst of our third quarter fundraising drive. We're halfway through the appeal, and we just crossed the halfway point of what we need to raise. So we're on track, but we can't let up, and we need everyone's support. But this is why you support this show, because it does seemingly get better all the time. And I'm not just saying that, I think, because I'm one of the hosts of it. I was looking, you know, one of the incentives for our fundraiser is a best of CD, and it's just so hard to choose a best of. If you look at the programs we've had since July 21st, just in the last 2 months or the last 8 weeks or the last eight shows, we've had Jared Taylor on, Dr. Kevin McDonald twice, Sam Dixon, Kyle Rogers, Paul Kersey, Reverend Ted Pike, Sam Bushman, Mark Weber twice, Colin Flaherty, Dr. Michael Hill will be on the program tonight, as will Richard Spencer coming on again, and Sidney Leathers. But besides that last one, you might be saying, if you're a new listener, well, who are those guys and why is that so exciting? Well, to ask that question goes to show why exactly this program is so vital and so important. Those are people the likes of which you need to know about. These are the people that should be on the O'Reilly Factor. These are the people that should be invited guests on Hannity and on all the other Alphabet Soup programming. We bring them here. So you can hear a voice. Yeah, you know, we are a mainstream program. We're on AM radio. We could go out and get the people that appear on all the shows that you see that's owned by the establishment. But why would you want to hear those people on this program? You already know what they're going to say. We offer you a fresh perspective from leaders in certain fields and on certain issues, and you will get those every night, in addition to what Cannon Fodder, Keith, and I, and Eddie, and the others on the staff can provide.
Why settle for Brand X, folks? Get the real McCoy, find the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And the only place you're going to find it on the mainstream radio airwaves of America is on the political cesspool.
And with that being said, Keith has got some articles we're going to be covering when we come back. Going to be a very busy show tonight. Stay tuned. It's only going to get better from here.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
September is National Preparedness Month in the U.S., and it's National Savings Month at Freeze Dry Guy. Are you prepared to save? All Mountain House freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans are now 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These long-lasting foods for emergency preparedness with a guaranteed 25-year shelf life are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These easy foods for camping, backpacking, hunting, and sailing are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These delicious foods, freeze-dried to lock in the taste, aroma, and freshness, are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. All cans of Mountain House freeze-dried meats, entrees, fruits, and veggies are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. Be prepared and save 40% now through September 30th at freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. By the way, and I think I mentioned it just a moment ago, Richard Spencer will be our guest in the second hour. Very excited about what Richard's going to be coming on to talk about this evening. Richard is, of course, the president of the National Policy Institute. Tonight, he'll be coming on to offer a follow-up interview to last week's Barn Burner with Dr. Kevin MacDonald and Mark Weber, during which we talked about the situation in Syria from our unique perspective. Tonight, Richard will be on to discuss Syria and the quote-unquote conservative movement's strange reaction and anti-war posturing. And Richard's really got a good line on this. You're going to really enjoy the second hour. Then in the third hour, Dr. Michael Hill, president of the League of the South, will be on to talk about Southern demographic displacement. Both interviews ought to be entirely riveting. So don't miss it. An entire 3 hours tonight, it's going to be blockbuster stuff. Now, Keith's brought me in a story here. Now, this is a story. This is, unfortunately, a very typical weekend night in downtown Memphis. The story I'm about to read to you is entirely normal in Memphis, in downtown. Here's what it reads, and this was actually printed in the local Fish Wrap, the Commercial Appeal. People around Bill Street early Sunday morning will likely remember the celebration of Jamie Williams' 25th birthday, even if she doesn't. Williams was arrested after a bizarre altercation on Bill in which she tried to run people over with her car, fake a seizure, and assault a paramedic and a cop, among other odd events, police said. The incident began just after 4 a.m. last Saturday, after Williams and friends began celebrating her birthday, had been drinking throughout the night at a Bill Street nightclub. After they get into a fight with someone, they were escorted off of the street. A plainclothes police officer watched as Williams and her group left, still arguing with someone. The officer saw Williams standing in the street, cursing at several other men and women. After a few more minutes, the same officer saw Williams return, this time in a car. She drove to the intersection of Peabody and 3rd Street, yelling at people, police said. She then swerved, went down the wrong way, and used her car to try to run people over before driving away at a high rate of speed. After the police were able to pick her up and put her in a squad car, she licked the windows, then kicked the windows. She screamed, "You haven't seen nothing yet," then stuck her hand down her pants and manually stimulated herself, police said. She loosened the screws on the car's plastic seat, then spat them at the officers. She faked a seizure. Then, when the paramedics arrived, kicked one of them and also kicked a police officer. So you can you get one guess at the ethnicity of this fine representative of the Memphis community, and one and done. You can probably guess it, but again, an entirely typical night in downtown Memphis.
Of course, you left the best part of it out of guess not the ethnicity, but guess the race of the individual they're talking about. This is a daily occurrence. And if it hasn't happened yet in your community, let me tell you, with the demographic change predicted by the United Nations demographers, who say that white people will become a minority in the United States of America no later than the year 2041, this is a crystal ball that is going to predict your future. This is what you will see coming to your town soon. Like a blockbuster movie, this is going to be standard operating procedure and typical behavior in the new, improved, diverse, multicultural, multiracial America that liberalism has brought to you. So celebrate it, folks. Here's what you've got in store for you.
And another completely typical occurrence in Memphis, in addition to that, is first, they came for Nathan Bedford Forrest, and I said nothing. Well, of course, we said something, and we, in fact, Nathan Bedford Forrest's name would have been removed from that park years ago if it weren't for the political cesspool. But they're not stopping with Confederate legends, are they, Keith? Now, Christopher Columbus has been banished from his park in the city of Memphis. Keith has the story on that. Hey, folks, all white heroes will be eradicated by the time this is all said and done if people don't start standing up and supporting the very few organizations like ours who is actually trying to do something about it. Nathan Bedford Forrest, gone. Jefferson Davis Park, gone. Confederate Park, gone. Now Christopher Columbus, gone.
And I believe he told me that Nathan Bedford Forrest's statue had been defaced just Friday night, I guess, or maybe it was Thursday night. With red paint and curse words and whatnot. This is the way that the other side plays. I have predicted this for time in memoriam. When whites become a minority in America, minority rights will instantaneously become a thing of the past. There is no protection for us. On the other hand, had this same desecration occurred to a statue of Martin Luther King, then the seventh level of hell would have been raised, and whoever was responsible would be cast into the outer darkness forever. Now, nothing's going to happen to the defacers of Nathan Bedford Forrest's statue, but as Sam Francis predicted when he wrote articles back around...
In the last couple of minutes of Keith's commentary. So, Keith, I'll ask you just to push rewind here and maybe 2 minutes ago get back into the eradication now of Christopher Columbus.
Okay, well, let me just rewind it. I was saying that just earlier this week in Memphis, the statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest had been defaced by a bunch of vandals, and I surmised what would happen if the shoe was on the other foot and there had been vandalism of one of the numerous Martin Luther King monuments that we have here in the city of Memphis. Undoubtedly, the seventh level of hell would have been raised, the Justice Department under Eric Holder would have put the entire city under lockdown, and some poor boob, whether he was guilty or innocent, would be tagged with this particular crime, and he would have been cast into the outer darkness. But nothing happens, nothing will happen to whoever it was that defaced the Nathan Bedford Forrest statue. And I said, you know, Sam Francis got it right probably around the year 2000 when he analyzed what was the true rationale behind the marginalization and eradication of Confederate symbols and veneration of their heroes. Let's say you're an Italian guy in New York City and you say, well, what truck do I have with Nathan Bedford Forrest, Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, any of these people? They mean nothing to me. Well, they come after your hero now, Christopher Columbus. Christopher Columbus has now been cast or relegated into the ash heap of history, and all white heroes are going to have to give way to non-white heroes. And as I predicted and have predicted for time immemorial, when whites become a minority in the United States of America, minority rights will instantaneously become a thing of the past. That's it, folks. We've got more for you tonight, but you've got to stay tuned after these words from our sponsor.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool. Sorry for that momentary blip in our feed. Technical problems here at our elaborate and tastefully appointed studios here. But we're back, and back at full strength now. Keith, I want to quickly get off of this story, but first I want to reiterate what Keith said. It is true. On Friday, vandals desecrated the grave of Nathan Bedford Forrest. They poured red paint all over his grave and wrote curse words. The city, believe it or not, actually did go and sandblast the paint off. I dispatched Eddie the Bombardier Miller down there on assignment today to do a little YouTube video for the cesspool, which we'll post on Monday. They have cleaned it up, but of course, when you sandblast or pressure wash a grave, it lost some of its original, you know, some of the wording on it is a little less readable. But nevertheless, it has been cleaned up. But we'll talk more about that in the third hour with Dr. Michael Hill. But it is true that that has occurred. Now, back to Christopher Columbus. Yes, he's been moved as well out of a Memphis park. And they're going to rename his park too, Keith. And folks, I bet you'll never guess in which direction they're going to go.
Okay, this is from the local section, Section B, of the Tuesday, September the 10th, 2013 commercial appeal here in Memphis. It says, Columbus statue bound for land of Italian fest. The statue of Christopher Columbus, erected in 1987, could be out of its namesake park in downtown by year's end. Namesake park in downtown, smallest in city, will become, what a surprise, a civil rights memorial. And, of course, all of the people being celebrated will be non-whites. Why not? Memphis has a majority black population now. We have a majority black city council and a black mayor. So who's going to stop it? Certainly not the Justice Department, which stopped majority white cities with majority white city councils and white mayors from doing what they wanted to do back in the days of the Civil Rights Movement, but apparently turnabout is not fair play. We have now a sacred cow status for black people in America, and nothing is going to protect the new white minority in Memphis any more than it will protect the new white coming minority in the United States of America when 2041 or some similar date rolls around and that becomes a reality. Now, the Columbus statue is being moved out. They're going to rename the park. It's going to be named for civil rights heroes, quote unquote, basically chronic malcontents who, with the backing of Jewish power and influence in the news media and the entertainment media, were able to prevail over the longstanding customs of the American people and change America from the vibrant economic dynamo that we were in the 1950s into the second-rate nation, quickly becoming third-world nation, that America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, at least in the past, used to be. This is what is happening. And, of course, it's happening because mainstream so-called conservatives like Sean Hannity, like Glenn Beck, like Bill O'Reilly, all pay obeisance to the politically correct notion that the civil rights movement was the best thing since floating soap, when it was another fraudulent, radical egalitarian movement that flies in the face of common sense and human experience, and it is just the first of many. It was the ultimate beachhead. It's the one that all the left always repairs to whenever they run into tough sledding about the ever more absurd radical egalitarian movements that they embrace year after year, like global warming, like radical feminism, like homosexual marriage and rights, things like this. When the public says, enough is enough, we're automatically treated to a spate of movies and NPR specials, that's National Public Radio, or their equivalent TV stations that they have everywhere in America, extolling the virtues of liberalism as the moving force behind the civil rights movement. And, of course, the Hannitys, the Glenn Becks, the Bill O'Reillys, these people, they provide no cover at all, no counterpoint, no arguments to contest this leftist notion that the left were the righteous dudes and that the civil rights movement was nothing but sweetness and light and righteousness personified. And as a result, conservatism goes down in flames and will continue to go down in flames until Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, or whoever the spokesman du jour for the conservative viewpoint in America in the mainstream media has the scales fall from their eyes and realize that the civil rights movement was no different from all of these other radical egalitarian movements. It was just the first. And if you don't denounce it along with the others, then you really can't make an effective argument to counter any radical egalitarian movement that the left chooses to serve up to us. You know, we have gay marriage. I predict bestial marriage, I now pronounce you man and sheep or something, will be the next phase. I can't imagine, you know, I think they basically plumbed the depths, James. I can't imagine what additional radical egalitarian movements they might have in store for us. But on the other hand, I could never have imagined gay marriage, and neither could most Americans 20 or 30 years ago.
Well, stick around long enough, Keith. I'm sure they'll one-up it. I got one for you now, and I'll quickly work this in. We've all seen or at least heard about the movie A Time to Kill, which was John Grisham's movie based upon a completely fictitious instance that really never occurs, and that is a brutal white-on-black rape. And this one, two Southerners with a Confederate flag bumper sticker rape a young black girl. I believe she was 10 or 12 years old. Well, guess what? In Mississippi, a couple of weeks ago, that very same story may very well have occurred, except for one small detail. The races were reversed. Now, imagine if a 12-year-old black girl was gang-raped by whites in rural Mississippi. The media would go bonkers. We already know about it. There'd be another movie about it. It would be the biggest news story in the world. There would be documentaries. However, in real life, this happened recently, and the apparent victim was white, and the alleged perpetrators are black. So, of course, it's a hush crime. In LaFleur County, Mississippi, a majority black rural county, a 12-year-old white girl was said to have been gang raped on August the 3rd. So this was, in fact, a little bit over a month ago now. The family fears that it will not get justice and thinks the authorities are dragging their feet because the alleged perpetrators are black. Keith, I was able to find one newspaper article in this small county publication that services LaFleur, Mississippi, and here's what it reads. The alleged rape of a 12-year-old LaFleur County girl last month has generated a lot of interest from across the country, much of it racist. Unfortunately, we've had some very vicious emails to come through, said LaFleur County Youth Court Judge Kevin Adams. So here we have an alleged black-on-white rape, and the media, when forced to deal with it because of social media pressure, the story that comes out isn't whether or not this heinous crime occurred, but that the reaction to this could only come from racists. And there have been vicious emails because, of course, that's more important that you have vicious emails come in because the state has waited a month and a half to do a DNA test on these men that raped this kid. They finally did that, and the results are pending. But and it went on later in that very same story to talk about how all of those emails, of course, you'd have to be an idiot, an ignorant fool to be concerned with a black-on-white rape. The story went on to point out that there was poor grammar and spelling. You're talking about a child that may have been raped, and the article in response to this story focuses on the fact that it's Only racist emails coming in, vicious emails, poor grammar. That's what the story was about. Absolutely amazing to me that this vicious email sent in by racists who are urging authorities to look into the charges was the focus rather than the fact that this crime may have occurred. Keith, every time we think we've seen it all, a story like this comes and pushes the needle a little bit further.
Can you imagine what would happen if the shoe was on the other foot? We have a slime ball like John Grisham, who in order to launch his career and ingratiate himself to the Jewish publishing industry, Jewish-dominated publishing industry in New York City, wrote a book called A Time to Kill, his first novel, which he said was based on a real-life occurrence. What he failed to say was that there was a rape of a 12-year-old girl by a bunch of adults, and it was interracial, but the victim in the real situation was, like the one in LaFleur County, a white girl raped by blacks, and he wrote about a black girl raped by whites. Now, what's wrong with that? Everything. We'll get back and just unpack that for you a little bit more after these words from our sponsor.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Peter Scoop Stanton calling in for his nightly report. And continuing on in the vein of vicious and brutal black-on-white crimes, just some of the latest manifestations of this phenomenon. Scoop has come across an interesting observation that I too noticed this week. Scoop, you actually heard Sean Hannity utter words the likes of which you never figured you would see coming from his lips.
That is correct. excuse me. Good evening, Cesspool family, and good evening to our newest listener, Russell from Clover Services. Russ came over to do some work on the house. Turns out he's a fan of Paleo Conservative Radio, and I turned him on to the Cesspool. But back to Mr. Hannity. Now, a little history about Mr. Hannity. He's friends with Opie and Anthony on XM Sirius Radio. And they, one day he was on the talk on the radio about you know, his personal life. And Mr. Hannity claims he's never uttered the N, so-called N-word or even thought of the N-word. Right, and a little more about Mr. Hannity. Before he made it to the talk radio, he was working construction jobs and tending bar and doing probably a couple other menial jobs in Atlanta, Georgia. So you can take it from there. But yeah. As I was waiting to driving through traffic, waiting for Open Anthony to come on, I was flipping through the XM dial. And Mr. Hannity was on talking on the radio, as usual. I was hearing what kind of nonsense he was talking about, see if I want to call in. And then my jaw just dropped. He was actually talking about black-on-white crime. Now, I almost wrecked my new Chevrolet. But my thought was, first was, like, we're getting through to him. Yes. Yes, we are. You know, somebody from one of his producers is listening to the our show and tell him, hey, you might want to talk about this. But then it occurred to me, no, it wasn't this. It was the epidemic you were just talking about, black-on-white crime. And also, Mr. Edwards, you gave me some information about the New York Daily News.
Yeah, and I'd like to quickly just zip through these stories. We're going to toss it to Keith, but you're a native New Yorker, Scoop. So I saw twice this week from the New York media, in addition to the observance that you made with Hannity uttering the words black-on-white crime, the New York Daily News and the New York Post, in separate articles about separate instances, used the word hate crime in association with the black-on-white beating, and in one case, a murder. The first case was that during which a black man shouted, "I'm going to punch the first white man I see," and then he went on to bash in the head of Jeffrey Babbitt, a 62-year-old man who fell backwards, hit his head on the ground, was brain dead for a time, and then died. This happened just a few days ago. So just right there. Now, to their credit, on this one time, the New York Daily News, in this case, said that was a hate crime, and of course it is, but that got a passing mention by this newspaper in New York. Compare and contrast that to George Zimmerman, a Hispanic who rightly used a deadly force in to protect himself and to save his life. They casted that as a white-on-black hate crime. We've talked about that to exhaustion. Everything they said was completely opposite in that case, the media, that is. But they tried to spin that so desperately into a white-on-black crime, a crime that just doesn't occur in real life. But now here, you've got a real-life thing that's not in dispute. A black man shot him, "I'm going to punch the first white man I see." He does it and kills the guy. Now imagine if Zimmerman had done that. Now, but why isn't this making equal news? Well, at least it got called a hate crime, I guess. And then, of course, another instance in New York where they used the word hate crime in a black-on-white beating. It occurred on a city bus. An attacker pummeled a bus passenger so hard he smashed the bones in his face after calling him a cracker in Manhattan, marking the second time in 2 days that people appeared to be randomly targeted in racial tirades against white people, authorities said. And this, I'm reading directly from the newspaper here. The incident occurred as authorities reported that Jeffrey Babbitt, the gentleman I was talking about in the previous story, fell into a coma and died after being punched by a black man who said he's going to punch the next white man he sees. In this case, a 31-year-old allegedly yelled that he was going to F up. Of course, he said the word. The next white person he saw, two people tried to help, and they were punched also, and so on and so forth. So two cases. One man died. The other person just suffered broken bones. Both clear cases of racial hate. They do get called hate crimes, though. I guess that's a start. This should be national news if the Zimmerman thing was, but I'm going to let Keith respond to that and then back to you, Scoop.
All I've got to say about that, James, is this. This falls right in line with comments that we've made on this show time and time again. Just imagine what would be said if the races were reversed in this. And I would furthermore imagine that the victims, Jeffrey Babbitt, the 62-year-old man who was rendered brain dead and then died, and these other two white people, were undoubtedly standard-issue, moderate-to-liberal white people. Nothing racist, no scent of racism has been mentioned about any of them. And it brings to mind a comment that I've heard many times throughout my career, which is that in the coming race war, you won't need to worry about, you know, whether you're white or black. The other side will let you know what you whether you're the enemy or not. And they're going to do it by, they're not going to look on your wall to see if you have an honorary membership to the NAACP or whether you've contributed to the United Negro College Fund, or whether you've done good deeds for blacks, bad deeds for blacks. They're going to function and they're going to react on a much more elementary basis. They're going to see your white skin and the weapon is going to be drawn. The machete is going to come out just like it does in South Africa and Zimbabwe, and you're going to be toast. So it's time to reclaim your racial heritage and protect yourself, your kith and kin. Undo what political correctness has wrought upon you and reclaim your natural birthright, which is a sense of solidarity with other white people. If you don't, not only you, but all other whites are doomed. You're not going to be able to stem this tide at the 11th hour. You're going to have to do something now. If you don't do it, you know, you won't have to worry about, like I said, what side you're on in the coming race war. The other side will let you know. And believe me, as these incidents, which are increasingly being reported even by the leftist-dominated mainstream media, occur with more frequency, is, you know, we're getting to that point, folks. We're getting to that point at warp speed. And when that happens, you better be prepared. You better drop all of these pretenses. Actually, not saying anything about it is a weird form of white supremacy. If you talk to liberal about why they don't have a sense of racial solidarity, they'll tell you it's because we're better than that. No, we're not. We're the racial egalitarians. We say that white people need to engage and have all the same toolbox of strategies and techniques that every other race claims as their birthright and unashamedly exercises on a daily basis. Until we do that, then we're not egalitarians, we're supremacists.
Scoop, a final word back to you.
Well, just to piggyback on what Keith said, one of these days some black miscreant is going to pick on the wrong white dude. And this white dude is going to make Bernie Gets look like a member of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah, well, you know, and then what's going to happen is exactly what you saw in Zimmerman. If the Zimmerman thing taught us one lesson, well, it taught us a couple. It's that if you're white, you better not defend yourself. You better just go ahead and let him kill you, or we'll put you in jail, or we'll do everything we can to put you in jail forever. That's what I learned from it. You know, whether you're right or wrong, whether it's self-defense or not, you just better let him kill you or we're going to make your life so miserable you'd have been better off dead. Yep.
You're absolutely right, but some nut job is going to be accosted and is not going to care about the media or things like that. And, you know, and it's going to be on like Donkey Kong.
Keith's got a response to that before we run out of time this hour.
Well, what we need is a lot more nut jobs, and that's all I got to say, because what you're saying is basically that you qualify as a nut job if you have the same sense of racial solidarity that a black person, Hispanic person, an Asian person, a Jewish person, yada, 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 you name it, whatever everyone else claims as their natural instinctive right, is somehow invalid when white people claim the same right. And quite frankly, we're tired of the double standard here at the political cesspool. All we want is equality. That's the argument. That's our toxin. That is our standard. And that's going to be the phrase that we need to use. We just want the same rights as everyone else. And we now don't have those rights.
Scoop, thanks again for your contribution tonight to the program. We appreciate it as always and look forward to hearing from you again next week.
No problem. Pleasure's all mine.
Scoop Stanton, everybody. You know, I was actually at the post office today to mail Scoop some bumper stickers. He had asked for them. And I will share with you what happened when we come back at the top of the next hour, folks. Pretty exciting story, I think. Always, always fun when these situations present themselves. So I'll be back to tell it with you and share it with you right after this.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.